I see the hand of God moving in ways that we didn't expect, we didn't anticipate. And I think the church needs to be sensitive today like it never has before in recent years to what's going on in the nations of the world and give itself to repentance and to prayer. I'm not sure that God's not hearing some of our prayers. I'm not sure that God's not moving in response to some of our prayers. And so we need to turn up the heat. We need to turn up the heat by more prayer. So I want you just agreeing with me as I pray for the nation. Father God, we're a mess. We have violated your word at every level. And yet you've not given up on us. And we're watching events and incidents in the life of our nation that speaks to us that you are moving. I don't understand it all. I'm not sure where it's all going. But we have asked you to glorify yourself. We have asked you to advance the kingdom of God in this nation at all cost. At all cost. We're asking you to advance the kingdom of God, not only in this nation, but in the nations of the world. But Father, in this nation, the spirit of Antichrist is moving so strongly. And I'm asking you to neutralize for a season, Father God. We know from your word what is yet to come. We know from your word what to expect. But Father, from everything I can understand, you have indeed turned all of your work over to the church, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ on earth today. And Father, I realize that in the parable, Jesus, of the wheat and the tares, there is in every, if not all, most congregations a mixture of wheat and tares. I thank you I don't sense any of that in this small gathering. But Father, across the nation today, you've got metropolitan churches. You've got huge gatherings that are interspersed with tares. And as I used to pray, Father God, asking you to separate the wheat from the tares, until I see in your word that it has to be so. The tares have to grow, have to be mixed and mingling with the wheat. And I realize that from the scriptures. But just because they're mixing and mingling with the wheat doesn't mean they have to have power, authority, and influence. I'm asking you, Father God, in the holy and precious name of Jesus, to purge. Purge the flock of God. And Father, for those who are backslidden, for those who are lukewarm, I'm asking you to initiate an action in this nation that will stir the hearts of the people of God to repentance, to holiness, and to separation from the world. In submission to your lordship. Father God, we need a move. We need a move of God in this nation. We need a move of God starting in what is called the church, the organization known as the church. I realize, Father, that within the organization known as the church, there is an organism that is the church. Those purchased by the blood of Christ, blood bought, blood washed, adopted into the family of God. And Father, we realize the two must coexist until the time of the fulfillment. But I'm asking you, my Lord and my God, to stir the hearts of the remnant to separation from the world, submission to your lordship, to stand in the hedge, make up the gap, be the salt, be the light in this nation that is needed today. And Father God, I'm going to be so bold as in the name of Jesus, to speak confusion, frustration, strife, division, and failure on the entire satanic agenda operative in this nation at this time. I'm going to be so bold as to ask you, Father God, to move in such a way that the agents of Satan, regardless of the religious attire they may wear, regardless of their religious involvement, I'm going to ask you to neutralize them for a season. For a season. Neutralize their influence. And then, Father God, for every single solitary denomination that has capitulated, has compromised on the Word of God, I am asking you to neutralize their power, authority, and influence on the nation. I'm asking you to move in such a way that they will have no authority, no influence. Father, the Senate, the House, the judiciary, our educational system, our economic system, Father, every facet of this nation has been invaded and infected by the enemy. And I'm asking you to purge it. I don't know what that's going to take, Lord. I don't know what it's going to take. But I still ask it. I ask you to move in such a way there can be no doubt in anybody's mind that we have seen a move of the hand of God in our nation. And Father God, in the upcoming election, either retain in office or put in office that individual that you can use most effectively to advance the kingdom of God in this nation and do damage to the kingdom of darkness. Where else do we go, Father? Thy will be done. Whether we agree with it or not, whether we like it or not, thy will be done. But we're asking you, Father God, for a move of your Holy Spirit in this nation, beginning in this nation, continuing in the nations of the world, weakening, destroying satanic strongholds. We realize that until you return, Jesus, there will be a mixing and a mingling. But we're asking you to raise up in this hour, in this day, in the life of this nation, a praying cadre, Father God, a group that will not back down, that will not back off, but that day after day will assault the gates of hell, advance the kingdom of God through godly, holy, righteous, separated living, and through intercessory prayer. And if you will hear this prayer and answer this prayer, we'll be most appreciative. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 And open your Bible this morning to Romans chapter 4. I'm going to be dealing primarily with verses 17 through 24. But leading into that, I'm going to take you to Romans chapter 4 and verse 3. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. It's one thing to say, I believe God. It's another thing to believe God. Don't let that bypass you. It's one thing to say, I believe God. It's another thing to believe God. You see, you obey what you believe. You obey what you believe. When you see a highway patrolman parked beside the road, and you're doing about 85 or 90, you believe he will write you a ticket. You believe he will stop you. Therefore, you take your foot off the accelerator and you slow down. You do what you believe. Now, stop and think about what I'm saying. You do what you believe. How much of the Word of God, have you ever taken the time to sit down with the Word of God and say, okay, I'm going to go through this and I'm going to see what God says I should be and what God says I should do, And I'm going to evaluate myself in light of what he says I should be, in light of what he says I should do. Have you ever critiqued yourself like that? Have you ever examined your attitudes, your reactions, your responses to life? We come to church, we sit down, we smile, you're good, I'm good, you're okay, I'm okay. But how many of us take the time? See, God's had me here for some time now. I have to examine, and you do too. If you're not careful, you will allow your thought life to grieve the Holy Spirit. You will allow your opinions and your judgments to grieve the Holy Spirit. You need the empowerment, the enablement of the Holy Spirit. You need the guidance, the wisdom. You need the sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit just simply brushes against your spirit with a slight breath, you need to be sensitive to that. He's trying to get your attention. Now, if he fails to get your attention like that, he may have to evidence himself in your life in another fashion. God is so patient. I'm living proof. I'm living proof that God is so patient, so gentle, so loving, so willing to give us an opportunity to realize and recognize that which is in our life which is not Christ-like. And I've talked to this for years. I'll say it again this morning. God never screams. God never shouts. As a matter of fact, the breath of His Holy Spirit against your spirit is just that. It's a breath. It's just a breath of the Holy Spirit saying, I'm not particularly pleased with your attitude. I'm not particularly pleased with your responses to life, reactions to life. And I find a certain level of insensitivity to my leadership in your life. You see, the Spirit of God is speaking to you every day of the world. The Spirit of God is trying and is in the process of conforming you to the image of Christ Jesus every day of the world. Every day of the world when you awaken and get up, unclean spirits, we call them demons, are waiting to affect you, influence you. But the Holy Spirit is waiting to lead you, guide you, direct you. And depending on your sensitivity or your lack of sensitivity, it depends on who is going to have preeminence in your life that day. That's why every day of the world, when you get up, even as you are getting up, you need to go before the throne of God, submitting yourself to Him as a living sacrifice. Rebuking every ancestral spirit, generational curse in your bloodline. Recognizing the failure in your life to align your life with the Word of God. Apologizing to the Spirit of God for any way in which you have grieved Him and quenched Him. Folks, I have lived this, and I am living this. And you are living this, whether you recognize it or not. But you have to understand that in getting you ready for glory, God has got to identify, help you identify, and renounce and repudiate everything in your life that is unChrist-like. Whether it's an attitude, an action, a desire, whatever it may be. So as we come through this morning, I want you to understand that I understand. God understands. Now, turn to somebody right now, if you can do so, and say, God's not going to give up on me. So don't give up on yourself, because God's not going to give up on you. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, the Word of God says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing where he went. He just obeyed. Obedience is better than sacrifice. God wants your obedience. You're born again, you're His child. He wants your obedience. And I keep trying to help the people of God, those who are truly born again, understand this. We came out of the womb, and you don't hear a lot of this being preached today. There are some of the older preachers that stress this and stressed it strongly. You came out of the womb with a sin nature. Nobody had to teach you to lie, cheat, or to steal. You came out of the womb with a sin nature. And you started demonstrating the fact that you had a sin nature very early in life. It started with lying or pretending that you didn't do what your mother knew you did do. It's there. You came out of the womb with a sin nature. When you got born again, and I've stressed this the last 4 or 5 weeks, I'm stressing it again this morning because this is a spiritual truth so many of God's people do not understand. When you were born again, yes, you were adopted by Jehovah God. You were made a member of the family of God. You were made a believer priest. But you're also made an ambassador for Christ. You're to be trained as a soldier for the cross. But please understand me. Each of us came into the kingdom of God as spiritual infants. Spiritual pride will puff you up. God hates it. Satan will try to convince you that you're much more spiritual than you are. Satan will try to make you think that you're more spiritually mature than you are. Satan will try to make you think that you're a brighter light than you are. He wants you to exalt self. He does not want you exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. You exalt the Lord Jesus Christ when you acknowledge who you are, what you are, and your need of Him. Yes, I'm born again, but I still have problems. Then, and I can't get into this too deeply this morning, but there's the sins of the fathers. I teach this in a 4-part series. It's on our website. We come out of the womb many times with the sins of the fathers. Those unclean spirits that gained access to the bloodline, that remain in the bloodline, until somebody in that bloodline draws a line in the sand and gets rid of them. They manifest in emotional problems. They manifest in spiritual problems. They manifest in physical problems. Too many people run for the pillbox or run to the doctor's office before taking the time. Is this that I'm experiencing, is it rooted in the physical realm? Or is it rooted in the spirit realm? Have I in any way inherited a malady as a result of the sins of the fathers, the generational sins in my bloodline? It's too easy to run to the medicine cabinet and grab some pills. It's too easy to take any number of steps rather than get quiet, sit down before God, and wait on the Holy Spirit. And seek the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and what course of action should I take? Now, do not misunderstand me. Sickness is a reality of life. Disease is a reality of life. Injuries are a reality of life. All that got introduced into the mainstream of humanity when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden is still with us. But we need to slow down sometimes and say, Father, what I'm experiencing physically, what I'm experiencing emotionally, what I'm experiencing mentally, is it in the real realm of reality? Is it a spiritual problem? Is it a medical problem? What is it? It's okay to ask God things like that. I do. I make no mistakes about it. No bones about it. I want to know what's going on. I do the same thing with my family. Father, is this of you? Is this of the enemy? Too much of the church depends on what man can do and not enough on what God can do. Now, I didn't plan to bring all that out, but it's out there now. So we'll move into the text now in Romans chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 17 through 24. In verse 17, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. God is talking to Abraham. Abraham is the first Jew. Abraham was not a Jew, but he became the first Jew. And he became the father of the Jewish nation. I have made you a father of many nations. Now, this is before he became a father of many nations. God speaks those things that are not as though they were, because he knows he can bring them to pass. So God can speak those things that are not just as though they were, because he can bring them to pass. I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed. He believed God. Abraham believed God. Have you? I know what you're going to say. Sure. No. Have you believed God? Do you understand and do you know the promises of God? And do you know how many promises of God there are for you to embrace? Have you ever taken the time to evaluate, analyze the promises of God? Now, this is a promise that God has made to me as a child, as a member of the family of God. This is a promise God has made to me. This promise applies to me personally, individually. As a child of God, as a member of the family of God, this promise applies to me. Then by faith you receive that promise. Have you done that? I have made you a father of many nations, God said to Abraham. When Abraham didn't even have a child, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. God gives life to the dead. We saw Jesus do that. We saw him give life to the dead. But then we were all dead in our trespasses and sins. And God gave us spiritual life. We were dead. Spiritually dead. In our trespasses and sins. And yet God breathed into us. And we had nothing to do with it. You had nothing to do with your salvation. Zip. Zero. Nothing. You said, well, I believed. Well, who do you think empowered you to believe? You couldn't gerrymander that up. No, God had to do it. So once you understand, now let me put you on a hallelujah course here for a moment. God knew before the foundation of the world who would and who would not believe. I keep stressing this because I don't think most of the church understands this. God knew before the foundation of the world, who would and who would not believe. Who would and who would not receive. Now you have to understand this. Knowing that, he went ahead and set aside an inheritance for you. And that inheritance is initiated in your life when you're born again. When you come to Christ, he knew when you were going to do that. He knew how you were going to do that. He knew what the circumstances would be. God's never learned anything new. He never learned anything new. He's omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. God has never learned anything new. So when you realize, now wait a minute, God knew before the foundation of the world when I would be born. He chose my bloodline. He chose my parents. He chose my entire bloodline. He chose the color of my skin. He chose the nation I'd be born in. He chose everything about you. He's sovereign. He's the sovereign God of this universe. And you're not an accident. And you didn't catch God by surprise. And you're not a mistake. You are pre-known by God. You were pre-known by God. And now that you've been born again, you've been adopted into his family. You have access to everything that God owns. You have access to every blessing. Now, to be sure, some of those blessings depend on my obedience. If I am obedient, I can access the blessing. Some blessings are withheld until I come into obedience. And understand this. We all started out as spiritual infants. And we're coming through levels of spiritual growth. You are, I am. We're all coming through levels of spiritual growth. Being on the praise team does not mean that you have arrived yet. Being in the pulpit does not mean you've arrived yet. No, we're all coming through a process of conforming to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has to permit into our lives certain pressures at times from this point of view or that point of view that brings pressure here, brings pressure there, brings us sometimes to the end of ourselves so that He can have His way in our lives. Understand this. I have made you. Abraham was not a father. God is speaking. He says, I have made you a father of many nations. God, who gives life to the dead. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. And God brought life to us, spiritual life to us. And now we are children of the Most High God, believer priest, adopted into the family of God, access to the throne of God, and all the blessings of God, if we will simply submit and obey. We come down to verse 18. Who? Against hope. Abraham now. Abraham, who against hope, believed in hope. Sometimes that's all you got. Hope. I'm hoping in God's goodness. I'm hoping in God's mercy. I'm hoping in God's grace. I'm hoping in God's healing. I'm hoping in God's protection. Who against hope, he had no reason to hope. Other than the Word of God, he had no reason to hope. Who against hope, believed in hope. Believed what? That he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. God took Abram outside. He said, Abram, look up at the sky. Clear night, a sky full of stars. And the father said to him, so shall your descendants be. All you had to do is believe. Now, understand this before you get discouraged. Abram was 75 years old when God showed up. 75 years old. Sarah was 65 years old. God made the promise. He was 75, she was 65. He waited 25 years for the fulfillment of the promise. When the promise was finally fulfilled, matter of fact, in Genesis 15, he's getting a little bit anxious. And he's questioning God. And that's when God did the manifested himself as he did in Genesis chapter 15. But he waited 25 years. Why? God's timing. God's way. God let Abraham reach an age, and he let Sarah reach an age, where they could take no credit whatever for the child that was born. It had to be a move of God. It had to be an act of God. Otherwise, it wouldn't have happened. So he waited on them. Who against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Notice this. In the natural, he had no reason to hope. Where are you? In the natural, he had no reason for hope. He's beyond the age of producing a child. Sarah's beyond the age of delivering a child. But against hope, once again, in the natural, considering everything going on, and some of you are there right now, look, we come in the door and we put on our best face. We put on our best countenance. I'm fine, you're fine, the whole world is fine. When way down deep inside, you're in trouble. Emotionally, spiritually, physically. You've got people about whom you're concerned, and it may be children. It may be whatever. There are those that you're concerned about. There are situations you're concerned about. You're facing some things you don't understand. You may be concerned about a medical protocol. It's okay to come into the people of God and say, frankly, I need prayer. I need prayer. Don't try to fake it. And it's okay to say to God, I don't want to fake this thing. I don't want to try to fake it. Father, here's the problem. This is where I'm at. And quite frankly, it's a concern to me. It's bothering me. I know that I'm smiling on the outside and crying on the inside. I need help, Father. I need to be to you and for you all that you would have me to be to you and for you. And quite frankly, Father, before I can be to you, all you want me to be to you, and before I can be for you, all you want me to be for you, you got a lot of stuff to burn out of me. A lot of dross. A lot of dross. See, we don't want to admit that. We don't. Wait a minute, don't you understand, preacher? I'm in church. I'm sitting in church. I'm smiling at everybody, and I'm shaking hands with everybody, and I'm saying, you're fine, and I'm fine, and aren't we all fine? When the truth about it is, some of you are going through hell itself in the emotional spirit realm. You've got problems. What do you do with that? I can tell you what to do with it. How do I know? I've been there. I've been there, and I'll be there again. But I can tell you what you do with that. You go before God. Be honest with God. Be honest with God. Father God, this is hard. This is tough. It's confusing. I'm perplexed. I don't understand. And trust me, I backed off for a while because I wanted to make sure that, and I knew that I was, but so much of the church does not understand and has never been taught the sins of the fathers. Going back to Genesis chapter 20. We came out of the womb. And I'm stretching. I realize that, but I'll back up what I'm saying with the Word of God. We came out of the womb, and we have sometimes in certain bloodlines, we have ancestral spirits that operate in that bloodline. And they stay attached to that bloodline. Clark Whitton. I don't know if you're familiar with Clark Whitton or not, but Clark Whitton came from a family of that. And he realized after he got into the ministry that he himself was the victim of ancestral sins in the bloodline. And Clark Whitton had to go before God and he had to come through all the process. You see, once you understand, wait a minute, this thing has been operating in my family bloodline for how long? It's been manifesting itself in my family bloodline for how long? And what is this manifestation? Folks, this is reality. This is spiritual reality. And I'm just trying to get the people that I teach, whether it's on radio or in here, to understand the reality of the Word of God. Understand the reality of spiritual warfare. Understand the reality of the unseen world of unclean spirits, because they're operative in the world today. Now, they're not all in Africa. They're here. Here. They're in the church. They're in churches. They're in homes. They're in individuals. So, once again, coming down to verse 19, concerning Abraham. Now, in the natural, Abraham had no reason to hope. In the natural, he had no reason whatever to hope for a child. He's beyond the age. The only thing he's got to go on is the Word of God. Folks, have you been there? Have you been there when the only thing you've got to stand on is the Word of God when all hell is breaking loose against you? Emotionally? Spiritually? Physically? I've been there. I've been there. When the only thing I had to stand on was the Word of God. And I decided that's where I'll stand. I will stand on the Word of God. And I did. And I have. And you can. And some of you have as well. Verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't listen to me carefully. He did not let the reality, listen carefully, he did not let the reality of the circumstances affect his faith. He didn't let the reality. It was real. All he had to do was look down at his body and say, I'm an old man. I am an old man. I'm too old to produce a child. And look at his wife and say, she's too old. Together, we're both too old. But He didn't let the reality of the circumstances he was in. And some of you today, and some listening by radio, will have to admit this. You are allowing the circumstances in which you find yourself dictate to you your faith level. If you're not careful, you will let the circumstances of your life dictate your faith level. You will say with God, well, I'm doing everything I know to do. I'm trying to obey. Yet I face this, I face this, I face this, I face this. Why am I facing this? And it's okay to ask Him that. It's okay to go to Him. He's your Father. And you can go to Him and say, could I have some insight here? Why am I going through what I'm going through? Why am I facing what I'm facing? This is reality, folks. Abraham was real. Sarah was real. Their lack of children was real. They had a promise from God which was real. But they've got to wait for the promise. Got to wait for the fulfillment of the promise. But he didn't let, hear me carefully, he did not allow the reality of the circumstances in his life dictate his faith. He said, in spite of the reality of my circumstances, I'm going to believe you, God. I'm going to believe you. I realize right now we're stretching some people. I understand that. But you have to be honest enough with yourself and honest enough with God to say to Him, this stretches me. This stretches me. I believe. Help my unbelief. I want to believe. I'm willing to believe. But I need help in believing. Holy Spirit of God, help me. Strengthen me. Help me to believe. Verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Let me ask you this. Now the word says here, he staggered not. He had a promise from God. He didn't stagger. He didn't stagger at that promise. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. That's what caused you to stagger. Unbelief. You're either going to believe God or you're not. I told you about the time years and years and years ago, coming into the ministry, when I got up from my desk that day, laid my Bible on the floor, stood up on that Bible, and I told God, this is where I stand. I don't care what comes down the pike, I stand on the Word. What I didn't know, I've got to be transparent with you, because you've got to be transparent with God. I had no idea. When I submitted and surrendered, when I gave up my license, when I closed down the business, came out of the business world, into seminary, I had no idea. I had never been taught about the sins of the fathers. I had no idea what was waiting, trying to manifest itself in my life and through my life. I had no idea the battles. Yeah, please hear me. When you got saved, you're born again. You're a member of the family of God. You're in the kingdom of God. But do you realize there's so much stuff? You see, sanctification, here again, it's a process that begins at salvation and continues till you die and go to glory. And you're going to be surprised at what you find in your life. You're going to be surprised to find out, what? I'm capable of that? I'm capable of that? This is warring against my soul? I mean, I'm born again, I'm saved, I'm a child of God, so nothing should be warring against my soul, right, wrong? It's because you're a child of God that the war breaks out. Before you were born again, you are Satan's child. He had you in bondage. Had the sins of the fathers in your bloodline. That's the Word of God. Exodus chapter 20. That's it. It's there. But see, what Satan will do many times. You get born again, and he lays low. Now you're coming through levels of sanctification. You're coming through discipleship. You're learning day by day, week by week, how to become increasingly more like Christ. Hopefully you're doing that anyway. And yet there are foul spirits waiting inside you, waiting in your spirit to manifest themselves. Now I know this cuts across the grain of what some people teach, but they're wrong. It's real. It's in the Word of God, and I can show it to you in the Word of God. So once you understand, I come through different levels, and I was in a deliverance session one time. And I resisted getting into deliverance. I resisted. I didn't want to get into deliverance. God put me in the arena, and I had no choice then. So once He put me there, I had to do it. But He was teaching me and training me. And I was dealing with this one individual. And I said, "What is your point of access in this man?" And the demon spoke to me. Said, "Since infancy. Since infancy." I said, "You've been in this individual since they were an infant?" "Yes." I said, "What is your role? What is your performance? What is your job in this man?" And here's what the demon said to me. "I take him to a certain point and I turn it off to another. I pass the ball." In other words, I've got him right here. And I can use him at this level of satanic darkness. I can use him at this level. But it reaches a point where a stronger unclean spirit comes in to pray, and I hand him off to him. When you realize the reality, when you realize the reality of the warfare, and most of the church is ignoring it, I can't ignore it. I dealt with it pretty strongly for years, and when God moved me into, quote, deliverance ministry, I resisted it. I didn't want anything to do with it. But watching God work and seeing what happened and listening to what was happening as He was bringing me through levels of training. Now I'm sharing this with you because I want you to see you. I'm convinced of this. I'm convinced that the average child of God can affect self-deliverance. But you've got to be willing to admit to God, "I got a problem." I've got to be willing to admit that. Is it pride? Is it arrogance? Is it unbelief? Is it an addiction of some kind? And there's all kinds of addictions. Name your own. There's all kinds of addictions. Once you come to grips with the reality of what the Scripture says, then you're in position to start battling the thing. Once you understand the sins of the fathers, once again, the third and fourth generation continuing until somebody stands firm, stops it, and gets freedom and gets liberty. You see, I'm determined that everybody in this congregation is going to understand the warfare and understand how to be free. Jesus said, "I come to set the captives free." We come into the family of God. Yes, we're born again. But now comes the process of sanctification. All the stuff has to be faced, has to be dealt with. Once again, in verse 20, "He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God." Now let me ask you this. Now be honest with yourself and God. Over which of God's promises have you staggered? Over which of God's promises have you stumbled? You say, "Well, I've never really thought about it." Well, you need to think about it. Which of God's promises have I failed to embrace? Which of God's promises have I failed to recognize? This is reality, folks. The Word of God says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's what the Word of God says. I didn't write it. I'm just teaching it. Word of God says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and thrones and dominions. The Word of God teaches us about the world of unseen spirits, what they do, how they react, how they respond. But he was fully persuaded. He staggered not the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Are you? Are you fully persuaded? No. Are you fully persuaded that God can do anything He says He can do? Are you fully persuaded that Jesus came to set the captives free? Are you fully persuaded that with God nothing is impossible? Are you? That's what the Word says. That He was fully persuaded. And being fully persuaded that He had promised, He was able also to perform. To what degree are you fully persuaded? Look, the Word of God says Jesus went back to Nazareth and could not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Because of what? Their unbelief. Now let me ask you this. What am I missing out on in my life because of my unbelief? Have you taken the time to evaluate, this is what I believe. This is what I don't believe. See, once you, it's a process. But you've got to be willing to be honest with yourself and with God. You've got to be willing to accept the Scripture as the Scripture lays and go with it to be free. And being fully persuaded that what He had promised, He was able also to perform. Are you that persuaded? Folks, it's individual. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. I have to sit down with God. I have to kneel on down. I do a lot of walking and talking with God. But I've got to be willing myself, me, individually. I've got to be willing to receive what He has said, receive the truth of His Word, embrace it, believe it, and practice it. So do you. Verse 22. Let's go back to 21. And being fully persuaded that what He had promised, He was able also to perform, verse 22, and therefore it was imputed to Him for righteousness. It was imputed to Him. You have no righteousness of your own. Any righteousness that you have is that righteousness which is imputed to you by God based on your faith in Jesus Christ. Now, the Word of God says, once I'm born again, I'm as righteous as God Himself. I'm righteous. I've been born again. I have been made, the Word of God says. I didn't make this up. This is the Word of God. I've been made the righteousness of God. How? In Christ Jesus. It is in my identification with Christ Jesus and in Christ Jesus that we are made the righteousness of God. Why? Because we're in God, in Christ Jesus. Now we've got to work out that righteousness. We have to live it out. Are you having trouble receiving this? This is the Word of God. This is the undiluted Word of God. Jesus went back to Nazareth and could not do many mighty works there. Why? Because of their unbelief. I'm saying to you that the church today is full of unbelief. I'm saying to you the great deal of the church today is ignorant of the Word, of the battle, of the warfare. I dare say that a great deal of the church is ignorant concerning the sins of the fathers, ancestral sins. I dare say. I intend the people in this congregation to be able to get up every morning in the world, submit themselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, put on the whole armor of God, and go out and face a sin, curse, sin, darkened world, and walk in victory. It's yours. It's yours for the having. Verse 22. And therefore it was imputed to Him for righteousness. You see, we, you, me, I'm talking to you now. We, you, me, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Not in and of ourselves, but because we are in Christ, we are the righteousness of God because Jesus is God in the flesh. And we're in Him. Therefore, we are the righteousness of God. Verse 23. Now, it was not written for His sake alone that it was imputed to Him. You see, God had more than Abraham in mind when he made him the promise. He had you in mind. You need faith. You need faith. I need faith. We all need faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We have to grow in faith. How do we grow in faith? We receive the Word. And it's okay to say, God, I'm having trouble believing. I'm having trouble, Lord. I want to believe. I'm willing to believe. Help me believe. Help my unbelief. That's what that father said with that kid. Jesus said, if you can believe, he said, help me. I realize I'm eat up with unbelief. Help me believe. I want to believe. I'm willing to believe. Can you say to God, I am willing to believe anything you want me to believe? Can you say that to God? I'm willing to believe anything you want me to believe. His Word tells you what He wants you to believe. So here we are. We're back again to receiving the Word of God, embracing the Word of God, believing the Word of God, obey. You see, you obey what you believe. You obey what you believe. When you see the highway patrolman and you're speeding, and you come off the gas, touch the brake, because you believe he'll write you a ticket. We do what we believe. So now, see, you've got to examine your life. Say, okay, am I doing what I believe? Am I doing what I say I believe? Am I embracing, in reality, what I say I believe? Or is it just talk? Verse 23. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. See, God had more than Abraham in mind when he made him that promise. He had you in mind. He had me in mind. He had us in mind. And that promise applies to us. Verse 24. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. What shall be imputed? Faith. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Notice that again. But for us also. It was not written for his sake alone, but for us. Not written for Abraham alone, but for us. But it was for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. What's he saying? The righteousness of God will be imputed to all who believe. Do you understand that in God's sight this morning, if you have received Christ Jesus, you are as righteous as God himself in God's sight? That's what the Word says. We've been made the righteousness of God. Have you received that? If you received Christ as your Savior, according to the Word of God, which I just read you, you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Righteousness has been imputed to you, placed on you, given to you. You are righteous in Christ Jesus. As a child of God, you have clout in heaven. As a child of God, you have access to the throne of God. As a child of God, you're an ambassador for Christ. As a child of God, you're a believer priest. As a child of God, no weapon formed against you will prosper. The only weapon the only way that weapon can prosper is if unbelief. Through unbelief. But if you're willing to trust God, believe God, I want you to walk out here this morning. And when you walk out that door, I want you to say to God, I believe. I will believe. I choose to believe. I want to believe. Help me to believe. It's okay to say to God, help me believe. I want to believe everything you want me to believe. And by believing all that you want me to believe, I can be all that you want me to be. That's when you become a threat to hell. You become a threat to Satan. I want every morning of the world when I get up, I want every demon in the area to say, uh-oh, he's up and around. He's up and at it. We're on notice. There he goes, hitting his knees. Look out, look out. Same thing with you. Look, be a threat to hell. Be a threat to Satan. Be a threat to every demon out of hell. Get up every morning of the world. Put on the whole armor of God, the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Put on the shield of faith. Put on the helmet of salvation. Take up the sword of the Spirit and say to everything out of hell, bring it on. In Christ Jesus, I'm ready for you. Amen?
Amen.
Now live this. Live this this morning. I didn't want to go here. I tried to go to another message. Yesterday afternoon, the Lord said, no, this is the message from the morning. I was trying to go in another direction, but I've delivered to you now what he delivered to me. And I've delivered it to you. Now you have to receive it. Amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord, I commit to your safekeeping this word that's been preached. I ask you to stir the hearts of these who have heard it. Let them receive it. Let them believe it. Let them live it, Father God. Enable them. Empower them to be to you and for you. All you would have us to be. To you and for you. Oh, Father God, birth the truth of this message in the hearts of your people. I ask in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said,
amen,
amen and amen.